Good morning. Pray. May my words be yours, O Lord, and land in the hearts of those to whom you want to speak. Amen. Now, okay, here's a Zoom experiment. At the start of the service, I suggested you might like to consider what you found hardest during lockdown, and where you might have found some unexpected joy. So now's the moment to hold up to the camera what you might have come up with. So if you've written something on a bit of paper, I'd love to see it. Let's see how this goes. Has anybody done it? Oh yes, excellent. Right, I am seeing hugs, missing friends, not seeing people. But an advantage being seeing nature, missing being physically close to family and friends. Yes, missing human contact, but spending time with the family, although that's not marked whether that's something that is a good thing or Grant. But anyway, I'll go with that. What else have we got? Being separated from family and friends, not being able to meet wider family, travel overseas or hug and shake hands, but actually the joy of being close to family and spending more time together. Being separated from my mother, someone said, not going to church. A good thing here, birds. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at some more. Oh, the litter in the woods. Oh, I think that's something that has been a joy not to see. And you've been, oh, I see, missing the litter in the woods. Excellent. Technology playing up. Somebody said that. Can't imagine who. Having more time has been a good thing. Crystal Palace winning yesterday. Thank you, Stuart Ryland, for that one. I'm sure that was you. Although you've been hiding behind your bits of paper. The joy, birds in the garden has been a great joy. Reading has been a good thing. Reconnecting with my sister after 10 years. Wonderful. Pat's missing coffee in Waitrose. Yeah, we're all missing different things in this time. Somebody's not at all missing having to commute, which I'm not surprised about. Hardly any traffic, helping each other, helping the planet. The beauty of nature, the peace, less traffic, a clear blue sky, and positives, absolutely, being close to God and nature in the solitude. Thank you so much. Radio 3, Jez has found an unexpected joy in Radio 3. What's that, Glynis? Let's have a look at yours. I can't see.
Each day a blank canvas. Nice to
see. Oh, okay. Yeah, each day a blank canvas. I like that one. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking part in that. And Peter said, good fellowship with Holy Trinity in Westcott via Zoom. So that has been a real positive. What? Right, brilliant. Turn your microphones off if you can. And we will carry on. Now, personally, I have found, thank you so much for doing that. I think that wasn't a disaster, so that's good. I found unexpected joy in some of these things. Jigsaws, making bread, quite proud of my bread. Hearing and having the time to identify birdsong. Family Zoom quiz nights, they've been hilarious. And going for dog walks without the sound of traffic, which has been just lovely. And also the three of us being at home together with fewer commitments has been a real joy. But I've also at times found myself weighed down with sadness and fear at the challenge of the virus.
Mum?
And the implications of so many. We've got somebody's microphone open there.
We're okay again, Hannah, continue.
Worries, being unwell, and Jonathan and I not being able to support our mums in the way that we'd like to be able to. There were definitely some common joys in our answers, weren't there, and common frustrations and sadnesses. People have said we're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. Some have had much greater challenges than others. We live in a comparatively privileged part of the world, but some of us may still have been coping with cramped living conditions, increased debt, loss of jobs, health, financial issues, grief, and loneliness. We've all experienced this time differently, and it's important to recognize that how you feel, how you've experienced it, is unique to you. Now, today was earmarked at the start of the year as an Eco Church Sunday. None of us, of course, knew that we'd be doing it like this, under these circumstances, with the unprecedented experience we've all had of the last few months. This time's also reminded us about the damage that we've done over years to God's creation. Air pollution has made people more vulnerable to the virus, and it's our destruction of nature over decades which has made it more likely for diseases to jump species. So I'm seeing this as a chance to reflect a little bit on how the pandemic might have impacted our feelings about the world around us, brought the climate emergency into sharper focus, and could in fact fast forward our move towards a global economy that's both green and inclusive, and which to my mind would absolutely mean playing our part in building the kingdom of God. Now, a few weeks ago, we watched a film from Tear Fund, part of their Reboot campaign. Like so many organisations and groups, they're encouraging us not to waste this moment, to press pause, to take stock of where we are as world, as communities, as individuals, to identify what we can take away from this time to make the world a better place, and not to slip back into the status quo. Now, more than ever, it seems as if people are hoping the world really will change for the better. In a poll taken during April, only 9% of people wanted things to go back to exactly how they were before. Only 9%. And the pandemic has shown us what can be done pretty much overnight if there's a will or imperative to do it. It's shown us that when we're in an emergency, community, life, and health are more important than anything. In a BBC interview this week, Greta Thunberg said that the only positive that could come out of the coronavirus pandemic would be if it changes how we deal with global crises. She said it shows that in a crisis, you act, and you act with necessary force. It's shown us that life can be different, that the world can be different. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, in his Easter sermon, said, "We cannot be content to go back to what was before as if all is normal. There needs to be a resurrection of our common life." And as the people of God, we should be part of casting a vision for the way forward. How will we play our part? Our reading this morning that Pat read for us from Job is full of wonderful poetry and imagery about God's extraordinary created world. And it's really worth reading the whole of chapter 38 at some point if you can. And in Matthew's gospel that Malcolm read, we hear of the beauty of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. And we're encouraged not to worry about tomorrow, as today has enough worries of its own. Now, some might read that as, well, there's nothing I can do about anything, leave it all to God, just get on with life and let him take care of it. But I think there's a crucial difference between worry and concern. Now, I do my fair share of worrying. You may feel like that about yourself as well. And I know, as you probably do from experience, that it can be massively stressful. It can paralyze. Worry can consume and overwhelm. It's not a helpful or a healthy way to live. As Jesus said, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single day to your life?" Which is, by anyone's standards, a fair point. But concern is something different. Concern gives us the chance to be much more productive. It's much more motivating. Concern moves us to action. At this point, we have to think about tomorrow. Blithely carrying on as we did before is just not an option. Globally, that means governments not using the huge capital investment to which they're going to have to commit to recover from COVID to just pick up where they left off, propping up the carbon dominant economy that we desperately need to get out of, that's destroying our planet and forcing the poorest and most vulnerable into a life that's pretty much impossible to live at all, let alone to live well and in all its fullness. 2020 was always going to be a significant year for the climate. This is the year that we had to start doing things differently. And most of us didn't anticipate a devastating pandemic affecting the whole world. But maybe, just maybe, it could be the catalyst for saving it. Now, global leaders have an extraordinary and actually really exciting opportunity to fast forward our lives, our culture, our industries into the low carbon, highly resilient economy it's absolutely clear that we need if we're to confront and put the brakes on the climate emergency. Perhaps even meet that target of keeping global average temperature increase to ideally no more than 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. And if that doesn't happen, we may have missed the best chance we may ever have to avoid runaway climate change, dramatically reduce our carbon emissions as a world in a way that could actually make an extraordinary difference and mean our children and our grandchildren have a healthy, functioning planet. Personally, well, firstly, I think it means remembering and holding both the joys and sadnesses of this time as we were doing earlier, and to bear witness to all those feelings and more in ourselves and in others. To grieve, to lament, to feel the sadness. There's been real sadness in this time. But also to hold on to the positives and those unexpected joys, to claim them as really important for us and for the world, and allow them to motivate us into being active as part of the solution. It's not easy to do, and it can all be overwhelming. But I firmly believe that the minute I choose concern over worry, choose to act, I'm empowered. Any decisions I make from now about travel, about consumption, about food, energy, savings, work, any of those are contributing to the solution. COVID has taught us so much, but one of the lessons is that each person's contribution to isolating, to lockdown, each person's sacrifice, and there have been such real sacrifices, has made a difference. By doing so, half of humanity has been individually responsible for finding a way out of this pandemic. It's shown the power of individuals as a collective. And what more beautiful collective is there than people of faith with the common mission to build God's kingdom on earth? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God's kingdom, a place of justice, equality, opportunity, acceptance, love, grace, and community. God's kingdom, a place that's good for humans and all creation. God's kingdom, a place, as Richard expressed as he spoke last Sunday, of good relationships between God, you, me, and creation, where we can all have life in all its fullness that Jesus spoke about. And if seeking God's kingdom is the first thing, our primary goal and focus, if that's the prism through which we view our relationships, all we do, everything we consume, every part of how we live, then just imagine how the world could look. And if we don't want to slip back into what the world was like, the way it operated pre-COVID, then we can't sit back and do nothing. Firstly, I'd encourage you to ponder further the things you thought about earlier. Acknowledge the tough stuff. Cherish the unexpected joys. But then, as the people of God, with our focus, our race, sorry, I see people moving around behind me. That's Hopalong on his foot. But then, as the people of God, with our focus, our raison d'etre to build God's kingdom here on earth, we absolutely have to act. And that means doing all the things that I and the rest of the Eco Church team have been banging on about for the past few years. Everything personally we can each do to live life differently, and more sustainably. From changing our energy supplier to one that's green, not using our cars as much. And I don't know about you, but we've got quite used to not using our car. That's been quite a joy as well. Reducing our plastic use, flying less. And if there's one thing lockdown has taught us, it's how beautiful and restoring this part of the world, our part of the world, truly can be. We're working really hard, the Eco Church Group and church leaders, to really get a grip on our energy use as a church. You'll be hearing more about that over the next few months, but it's something we can all do. In her BBC interview this week, Greta Thunberg said that the only way to reduce emissions on the scale that's necessary is to make fundamental changes to our lifestyles, starting in developed countries. That means starting with us. But she doesn't believe leaders have the nerve to do it. So now is very much also the best time to be heard, to speak out, to write letters. Alan wrote a brilliant one in the last couple of weeks, which is going to the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition. And that's one of my jobs for this week, is to do that. As part of the Tier Fund reboot campaign that I spoke about at the beginning, there's some brilliant advice on how to do that, helpful information. This is the time to let our leaders know we want the world to be different. Because if not now, when? Amen.